Mundo. Anne Forschner, hello and welcome to our lovely little episode of the Gestalten podcast on women in design. It's a pleasure to have you. And yeah, welcome from one Munich office to another.
Yes, hi, thanks. Great to be here.
It's my absolute pleasure to have you on this as well. Obviously, you are a little bit one of a kind, well, not necessarily one of a kind, but one of very, very few in the design world. You are working, or you have worked as an exterior designer. You're now involved also in parts of the interior as well. So you are really one of very, very few in this industry. But let me ask you a very general question to start it off with. How did you fall into the world of car design? And how did you start to think about studying transportation design? Because obviously your degree work from the Potsdam University is still, like, you know, remembered by many, many people. But how did you get into this kind of world? Where did your experience start?
Yeah, basically, I was always interested in arts and designing and always interested in cars. And I mean, as you said, and it's maybe this actual crucial point, because for women, it's maybe not as normal to be interested in cars in a way, and that sets a boundary to maybe not go into this field. But I just wanted to try, and I was just excited about the emotion that cars bring across. And I was fascinated about many cars out there, especially BMWs. And so I just thought I'd try, even though I'm not like man maybe grew up with cars and having this strong connection to cars since a very small age, where it's more natural for men. I found out there were a lot of men in the car design, but I never felt like I shouldn't do it. So I just found out that you can study transportation design because I thought at the beginning you have to study industrial design, but then I noticed there's this niche and I applied and wanted to try out if I can become a car designer. That's basically it.
Did you have anybody like giving you any advice, or really how can we imagine like you going out? Like, did you just go online, or did you have anybody telling you, hey, there is this thing out there because you might be interested? Or did you have any early guidance for something like that? Because obviously if you look into all the courses, like even nowadays, it's like one girl, one woman, and like 9 or even like 10 men or boys. Did you have any kind of support on that? Or is this just like, well, no, I like it, let's do it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just like how everybody started. I had a dream and I wanted to become a car designer. And then I started in digging into the field and trying, finding out what I need to do, what skill levels do I have to have. And so I was contacting the schools. I was trying to find out what the level is expected and how good am I? What do I have to learn? Where do I have to teach myself? And it was self-teaching and self-finding out in the internet over people, meeting with designers or students. And I was also doing courses to get better at sketching. It was a step-by-step following my dream and reaching the aim. And I applied, and I got in and started studying. And until now, it's a step-by-step process. But I believe that's how everything works that you want to do. Yeah. And I didn't have a crazy support somewhere, or I didn't go into a family, or I don't have no history in my surrounding about it. So I just worked for it.
Let's say you go into the university, you find your first job as well. I mean, you know, you had your BMW project as well. What was your expectation going into it as well? Going into university, but also then going into your first job, like as a designer, but also as a woman, going into this very dominated world of men, What were your expectations, your feelings in the beginning that you lived with and constantly developed?
I mean, my expectations have always been to learning how to design cars from scratch until bringing them in production. Yeah, so that was the expectation, just like everybody had. There was no difference, I think. The feeling is obviously you always feel a little bit alone because you're one of a kind, or maybe there's only few women, where you're obviously always looking to find role models. Is there women that that you can look at? How do they do it? And women do have different behaviors in the way how they work and the approaches. So it is not as, I mean, it's easier when you have other women around. That's why the feeling is maybe a little bit weird when you are just the only woman. But when I started, there has been already a few. At BMW, Juliane Blasi was there, and there were other few women that I could look at and then find my way through that and learn through them and see how they behave. And yeah.
Interesting. I mean, from my perspective, did you go in and ask yourselves, like, okay, who could be a role model? Or did you literally just find people on the way in your career? Because, of course, you know, in history, you had the Damsels of Design at GM. They were obviously in the 60s and stuff, so way before you were in my time. But still, they are of course, the front runners of that kind of movement as well. Did you actively look for people, or did it literally just, like you just mentioned with Rihanna, it just happened because you were there and, you know, you could build a relationship and talk to people and all these kind of things? How was your personal experience on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was actively looking, but in the time, I mean, I started studying 2005. I mean, it sounds already so long ago, and it is, because the internet was not as, you know, easy to, you couldn't see people as easy as you would now in social media, for example, and get in touch, because now things are just much more transparent and people present themselves and you can find people. So I was actively looking, but how active can you look without being, you know, annoying and phoning up people in an analog way? So you know that there are some out there, and you catch any information that you can if you're not in a personal contact. And then when I started at BMW, it was just so great because I could contact Juliane or Nadia Arnaud. She was there in the time as well, doing the Z4 with Juliane. I could look at them directly. Yeah, so it was easier to approach. But nowadays, I think it's just so easy to get into networks. We have the platforms to network, and it's more the word of networking is more spread. There is much more awareness of women to also connect to each other and exchange. And I think everything got just more easy accessible, which is great, and which helps obviously to navigate yourself through that situations. Yeah.
How would you, if this might be like a very naive question, because, like, you know, I really can't put myself into your shoes in that sense. But if a student female designer, and especially a car designer, sends you a message and like, hey, you know, I'm really inspired. Like, what would you have done? Like, you know, the career that you've had so far, of course. And they said, like, what kind of tips can you give me? How do you answer that as well? Because obviously what you mentioned with all the connectivity now, it's much easier. But still, even though we have all these kind of connections, we still see relatively few young women coming into the world of car design, especially in exterior, interior a bit more, obviously still quite a bit on CMF and UX in particular. But what do they ask you? What kind of questions come up? Or, like, you know, what do you answer to them when they come back to you?
I am always so open to supervise or support young female designers on their way towards their dreams. I also have some platforms where I meet up with young students and share my experience, or talk with them about what is on their minds. I think general questions of, can you give me tips how to become a car designer, are just general. Yeah, everybody asks these questions. But what I'm trying to do is to also find out what specific questions there are and if there can be a connection. And I felt it is the best if I share my expertise in how did I feel, what made me more confident, what was easy for me to connect to, how did I describe the way how I want to work, less in competition, more in a team. So I felt when I talk about myself and what I experience, what I read in books, what I have learned on my way, I've noticed it starts opening up doors to talk about things that might not be talked about. And this is the way how I approach it. It's not really that via social media or questions, or that there is this deep questions asked. It's more general. And so what I'm offering to, for example, some female students in Pforzheim to just talk, yeah, and be trustful in a trustful circle, to talk about feelings and maybe something that is just not on the normal schedule of a design school, yeah, something more soft.
That's very interesting. You mentioned something about, you know, opening doors, working as a team, those kind of things. I mean, this is something in general that is really becoming an important factor within creative teams. I mean, I personally have a feeling right now that we are starting a transition into new ways of leadership, new ways of management that come into that as well. Do you think, because if we look into statistics, yeah, we have like 10% women in the car design studio on average. There's this number of 25 floating around that we should get to. Do you actually think that these skills that you have just mentioned have been properly acknowledged in the past? Because for me, if I would see it, it's like, you know, use your elbows and like really be in competition all the time. But it's almost like, you know, a lot of people didn't even want to have this kind of openness or this kind of collaborative mode anymore. But it seems to be changing a little bit right now. And I think a big role is also why, you know, this car design could become even more interesting again to women, because it's not this, you know, call it the boys club anymore.
Yeah, totally. And it's not only changing a little bit, it is changing a lot. And I think this is not only because we notice that female skills are important. It's also because the world is changing where different skills are needed. And I see, I mean, in the 15 years that I'm working now, I mean, the last past years have been really accelerating the talents that female or let's say diverse designers bring into the organizations. It has accelerated tremendously. And this is really great because it's very motivating, and it asks you also to bring your talent to the table, let it grow, bring the strength because they are wanted and they are changing organizations and they are changing the world. And so I think we have to always see it as a process. I think we cannot necessarily speed up things in an unnatural way, but in many facets of what is happening out there, things like different skills are needed, and female designers bring many of these skills. And this is really beautiful to see. And I think it's going to just become more and more equal, and more different facets become part of a bigger system, because we will not be able to do it just how we did it 30 years ago. It's just not happening anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, you see this from all different kinds of perspective. You know, we see a much more 50-50 different, like, you know, balance in male versus female in UX, for example. And I think you can see that in products already. You see more and more female designers coming into interiors as well. I think if we want to challenge anything in that context is that we still have very few exterior female designers. Why do you think that is? Does this have anything to do? I mean, it's definitely not a skill question because you look at yourself, you know, there's a few other women, of course, in leadership positions, you know, especially in the United States, but also if we're looking to into Volvo, for example, as well. But why do you think that the exterior is still so male dominated where the other ones are moving on a little bit further and become much more evenly balanced?
I think on the one side, it's very specific. And I see female talent more in general and more holistic approach. So becoming a nerd and digging into a specific topic, I think this is not necessarily a general female talent, even though there is also male the differences and stuff. But I felt going into a paved way where men have described this kind of deep nerdiness. Yeah, I want to say nerdiness into the in the car boys club. I think there's not just so much interest into going into there and becoming this specific. That's the one thing. The other thing is that exterior design is very competitive. Maybe coming from its origin in history, so to say, okay, the outside of the design, like the outside of the car, is forming the complete car. It is the car, yeah. And this is also changing because there's so much more to the car than just exterior design, and we notice it, all of us, in what's going on at the moment, especially when it comes to customer experiences and digital design and there is a lot of things happening that add to car design. So this is the competitiveness of exterior design is stronger in my feeling than in any other discipline. And this is something you also have to want to do. If you are more if you want to be more in a surrounding that is in harmony, that is in a team that is balanced, then exterior design from its origin is maybe not the right thing, depending maybe also on the company, but it is just a bit closer to that, yeah? Closer to going into a niche, being very specific, being very specific and being very competitive. And I think these both characters or characteristics are not helping for to wanting to get into it. Everything what is around there and what else needs to be looked at to have a good to design a good feeling about a car and the brand is the same important and the same interesting. And it's maybe more open and it needs other skills. And this is probably why a lot of female talents rather go into other fields or other disciplines.
Interesting. Very interesting. Do you think that's, I mean, this competitiveness, I think if we look back a little bit into the history, especially over the past, I would say 15 years, where the design departments grew quite a lot. Yeah, I mean, like we had, I think up until like the mid-2000s, an average design department was about 100 people. And now we have some that go into like, you know, even the four figures. So like, you know, 600-700 is for the bigger companies quite a normal factor. So we probably have a little bit of a even more competition now because it's also more models. And where I want to get to is, do you think that the universities or like, you know, the education system actually prepare for that? Because it can be a ruthless system, especially on exterior, to kind of be in that competition and you know, be in competition with some other great people. But if you mention it in the context of, hey, it's such a normal thing and you have to really want it, do you think that maybe a lot of people do not get that kind of experience in the university or like in their education to say, hey, this is really difficult. Do you really know if you want to go into that as well and really have, you know, what are you ready with yourself to go into something like that? Because it's some, it seems like it's almost you're being thrown into the cold water.
I don't know. I mean, I think there are different schools out there, and I was studying in Pforzheim, and I think I was pretty good prepared. I mean, it's also quite competitive, and it's very styling focused, exterior design, interior design focused, and there's different schools with different specializations, yeah. And in Pforzheim, I think it was pretty well prepared on what my job will look like, and I also wanted it like this. So this I think depends on which school you decide to go, and I think you really quickly also get a feeling of what you want and what you don't want. I think I was not like that sounds like it. I was not shocked or something, and I also I think it was really a super cool time, and I enjoyed every minute of being an exterior designer. I just mention that I can kind of understand why women are maybe not going into the field specifically. That's what I observe.
And that's important, you know, because I think it's not about forcing anybody going into that as well. I think it would be wrong to say like, oh, you know, we have to have more women and then force people into it. It's not gonna help the case overall, and I don't necessarily think it's gonna help the, you know, the product in the end either. I think we need to have the good mix, and need to get people and women in particular really interested in going into that as well.
Exactly, and as I said, I mean the car is a product from many different themes and topics and disciplines, and you know what I also see is that technology at the moment is opening up worlds where you can express your feeling, your dreams and opinions about mobility design and car design in many different ways. You used to, I mean, in the earlier days, let's say like 20 years ago, or you used to have a specific skill to execute exterior design, markers, pens, renderings. And now we have technologies like rendering KIs. Technologies are growing to also represent your ideas and get your ideas quicker done and make it accessible. And I think this is also such a great time at the moment to get anybody access to visualize and to create their ideas and bring them to paper. And I think this is also tearing down walls of a specific skill, a specific deep dive into one special topic, because you can all of a sudden start also holistically and bring your ideas onto paper, even though maybe you have not digged into marker sketching for the last 10 years and became the best sketcher of all times. And that's the only way how you can show your ideas. Now there's so much more possibilities, and I think this is it's so great what is happening for accessibility.
Yeah, and it's also about democratization. Yeah, I think you can see this in always a positive and a negative thing. Yeah, you can say with Instagram, for example, you can see, you know, all these kind of new ideas or these new proposals coming into play. Some others might say, yeah, it's a lot, but it's not necessarily going in a lot of depth. But I think it comes back to me for something that we've discussed earlier in the world, but it's a little bit of like, you know, how is a design department changing in the future as well? You know, what skills are required? I mean, we see already big changes. Yeah. If you look at Volvo, you know, and you see that Jeremy has come in, Jeremy Offer, who's not the most traditional car designer in that kind of context, but somebody who thinks maybe a little bit differently, you can say like, oh, that's a very interesting kind of move. And I think this also opens things up for all different kinds of thought processes. It opens it up also for diversity, of course, as well, because I think we're gonna ask completely different questions. And I think this, we probably will have the traditional skills of, like, you know, an exterior car designer, but also what you've mentioned, the holistic thinking will take over in a completely different context.
Exactly. And this is also what I see also here in this organization, that you just have, you know, you see possibilities and you see what good can come out of it. And of course, with any technology and whatever is happening in the world, something is also stick to that could be bad, or we should, that is changing the way how we did it in the past, because that's just how technology is, like new technology, it's changing something. And maybe when you see, okay, it's changing to the bad because my job will change and something that I've learned or my skill will fall apart. What am I going to do? But on the other side, if you see potentials, then you see what is opening up for people that didn't have the access. And just as you said, it's democratization, and it's you get more tools into your hands to show your ideas. And I think it is always the aim to give everybody the possibility to express their ideas, because every idea is important to make the best product. And this is where I see what will even speed up this process of having diversity in companies, where companies are changing inside, and we have to adapt to these new technologies to open up the doors for creating better products.
So let me ask you this in terms of a little bit of a future outlook, yeah? Because obviously one of the point is we want to have more young women to join in as well, but also a big difference will obviously be made when women go into management positions, yeah? And now we both work in an industry where I would say 80 to 90% of the positions in the top levels, or like even more, obviously currently still filled up by men, but that is more a little bit of a historic background. This doesn't change in like one year or two. This takes a little bit longer. But what do you think in terms of the development of women in design departments in particular should happen in terms of mentorships, probably in terms of leadership trainings, those kind of things? What do you see as essential for them to learn or being taught to also have these capabilities to move up? Apart from obviously personality and stuff, I think personality still plays a big role in design. But what kind of wishes for development would you like to see in the future for, you know, the women out there to really make it to the highest levels?
Yeah, I think it's not something you have to teach, especially to change yourself. But it's more building up strength, yeah, to build on the talents that females bring. Let's say more harmony, more holistic approach in teams. I also see women are a little less interested in politics. There is a different approach in how to manage projects and teams. So this is you just have to develop that skill that is in the nature of females. I think also it's needed. And I think it happens naturally, but of course, we have to look closer on what these skills are and how to measure them or how to develop them and to see what we can gain from it. That's probably the different to the past. You have to have a special eye onto what skills we need and what skills need to be developed and who brings it to the table and what you need. And this is more what I believe needs to be done, and it is happening. And also the HR departments are very aware of the different approaches and where you have to look at and what you have to look for to develop it and bring the organization further in.
Yeah, I 100% agree on especially the HR part. I think it's awareness, and it's also an understanding of there's never just one way to do it. You know, I think in for a very, very long time, especially in the car design world, we have been very much on process. Yeah. And it's just like, it has to be that way. And then this happens and then that happens. But if you look into how other companies are doing it and get inspired by other design companies, like take Apple for an example, the reason why design is very strong is because they're also allowed to test out and try things. And I think, you know, this kind of attitude of trying out and allowing things to happen to a degree is not necessarily always about just a pure process. And I think we need to find a certain middle ground for that as well. And that middle ground really comes from a diverse background, in my opinion.
Exactly. And what you say, I mean, it's really right. It's about strength, and it's about positions that need a special strength. And it cannot be true that it's all the same. You always need the same talents. You know, every position needs another thinking. A management position is a different, like project manager is a different position as a team leader. And then UX is a different talent than an engineering background, and a design is a different. So it's always about strength. What does the position need to be? What skill does it need? And who is the person to fulfill and bring the skills or the talents to the table? And how do we develop it? So to make the best out of the topic. And it doesn't matter if it's female or male. This is the way we have to work in the future anyways, because it's the only way how to make the greatest things. It takes more effort to find out people's strength and to also guide them on the way to develop the talents that they bring. But it's the only way forward. And it sometimes also means the person does it different than you did it before. But maybe good, maybe in the better.
Yeah, and I think what you mentioned here is something that I've personally learned, you know, in the last couple of years quite a lot as well, is this idea of just because you're very good at one specific thing doesn't necessarily mean you're good at something else. And I think, you know, what we can see about empathy, about leadership, management, decision-making, these are very different skills to taste, call it styling, or, you know, anything that has to do with aesthetics in that sense. And I think to find a balance here will also open up a lot of options for female employees, female designers in that context as well, because you can, you know, develop a completely new skill set, or you can develop something that it might run in you very naturally, but you want to fulfill even further. And I think this is something that we haven't really looked at in the past. And I think that's for me where it's really interesting with a more diverse background coming in. And that's not just about gender. This could be about cultures, of course, as well, to then say like, hey, how do we lead here? Or how can we, you know, get the best of our creative people? Because I think the times of just the best designer is the best manager is slowly coming to an end. I think maybe an exterior where we come back to the exception, you might still have something like that. But if we're already looking into interiors, UX, color and trim, that changes quite drastically. Yeah, and that's also probably an explanation why we see more and more female leaders in these areas, just because the question of leadership is a different one, and how to deal with people and what is called emotional intelligence. Yeah, which I think there are quite a few men out there as well who are not the strongest in that, and more women that have that kind of ability in that context, without generalizing, of course, but that coming together in terms of also management changes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not generalizing at all, but you see a tendency, of course. But I think this is what is exciting. Yeah, it's exciting to think about people's strength in general, and to also maybe find out that strengths that you thought are not a strength, it's not a strength, are very useful for an organization. I think that's exciting. And it's exciting to also map talents to different jobs where you think this could bring the company further. And I really think that's the future, and this is how the industry is changing at the moment anyways already. And the faster we do it, the better it is for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you look ahead a little bit into the future, obviously, also for yourself a little bit, what's the kind of general kind of wishes or kind of aspirations that you would like to have of just like, hey, that's something that we could easily do to get more women interested in what we're doing in call it transportation design, mobility design. Is there anything that comes to your mind to say like, hey, that's an easy way of getting more people in a more diverse background interested in what we do.
Yeah, what is easy? I think it's maybe more individual. I think always reflecting yourself, and if you are building up walls for somebody else to get into a field, if you do that, you have to be aware of and maybe stop doing it. If you are the one thinking, what is this person doing here? Why is she here? She hasn't been in the car community, in the culture from the beginning. She doesn't know how to do it. I mean, if that's in your head, there's something wrong. I mean, there's something that doesn't help. Yeah. I mean, that's where you have to start yourself, thinking, where am I standing? Which walls am I building up for others to come into a field? And then on the other side, of course, it's the courage for women to just try, and also being confident about being part of designing future mobility. It's a two-way street. It's not only a one-way street. And yeah, feeling that the aspects they bring into the industry is important. That's something that I also felt, you know, my opinion is the same important. That has something to do with an interest and a confidence. That's the two things. Starting always with yourself. It doesn't matter if you are male or female, if you are building up walls or tearing down walls. So how is your attitude and how are you behaving? You maybe can change your behavior in not having already an opinion about somebody that you haven't met before, or where you don't, that is just in your head, and trying to change your attitude to other things, towards other things, and being more open. And then the other way around as well, being as a female more confident in joining the game.
I think that's a perfect way to end this episode, because it's such a positive message, and I think it's not just the right one for everything that is happening in car design at the moment, but also in the world. Yeah, I think this tearing down walls is a really important factor that we all need to do to keep our society quite open with that as well. So, Anna, thank you very, very much for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And yeah, to everybody listening to the episode, thank you very much for joining us this week. And you will find more info on Anna and can connect with her in the show notes on LinkedIn. We'll link her profile. And for everybody else, we will see you then or hear you next week with the next episode of our special series for Women in Design. Thank you very much.